If you're ready, Janine, we'll get straight into it.
Yeah, I'm ready. Well, I'm as ready as
Perfect.
I'll ever be. Just flow
So
with it.
first, do you want to just give everyone a little bit of a backstory, who you are, what you do, what you sell?
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, hello everyone. Thank you so much to those of you that are here. My name is Janine, as Anna has kindly said. I'm a live video strategist, the founder of Boss It Live. That's my business. I'm known in the digital streets as Video for Bosses. And what I do is teach content creators and business owners, amazing people just like you, how to generate more leads and sales for your business, leveraging live video. So I'm all about helping my clients create a framework, and it's not cookie cutter, but there are certain things. There's a psychology to live video strategy that gets your audience to, number one, attract them, number two, to keep their attention, and number three, to create that epic experience so that they move along the customer journey. They move from being your follower to being someone who's just maybe discovered you on the FYP to being someone who comes in, starts interacting, makes a commitment to follow, and then moves forward from there. So I've been doing this for 8 years. I first started live streaming in 2015 on the app Periscope. Does anybody know that? The app that is no more, but it was an amazing live streaming community. And that's where I grew my live video strings, live streaming wings or strings, wings. And yeah, had to navigate a lot of challenges over there because if you guys think you're trolled, you're on the old tickety-tock, you ain't seen nothing yet because it was brutal over there. But it gave me a tough, thick skin. And also, I found my passion for that. So initially, when I started, I was working the old corporate 9 to 5. And then I thought, you know what? There was something absolutely amazing in this that is live streaming. So I quit my job 2 years later. And so, yes, I've been doing this 6 years full time as an entrepreneur, but I've been teaching for 8 years. So I'm not new to anything that is live video. So, yeah, anything that you want to know, I've been through it all. Grazed my knees, metaphorically speaking, to rise up out of the ashes like a
Oh, man.
phoenix. So yeah, so that's it. That's me.
Perfect. So when did you kind of start your TikTok journey? When did you start going live on TikTok?
Oh my goodness. So I was late to the TikTok game. I was like, nah, I ain't doing that. It's for the young people. I'm doing that. I'm going to stick on the old Instagram. I'm going to stick on the old, other platforms. And I started to get really frustrated with the old platform, the picture platform. And so I said, you know what? Let me just see what TikTok is about. So that was like March last year, towards the end of March. So I think I had maybe 100 followers at the time, thereabouts. My account was a dead account because I wasn't active. And so I said, let me just see. So I started consistently posting TikTok videos, and I made sure that I was 100% proof and dialed in on my messaging. My resounding messaging was live video, and everything was birthed off of that. And because I, number one, saw that there wasn't really many people, there wasn't anyone talking about live video strategy on TikTok. Nobody. People were going live, but there was no TikTok live strategist or live video experts. So I dialed right in with that and I stayed 100% proof. Initially, I started with uploading, I think it was 2 to 3 times a day. I couldn't keep up with that. Got a life and a business. I was just like, oh, I can't do that. So I quickly, I think it was 60 days. I think in 60 days I monetized, but I got to, I think I still got live video functionality. Yeah, probably about early June, around about that time. So when I started going live, there was absolutely nobody. No one was bothered about what I had to say because it's like with anything, you don't start at the top of the mountain. You have to work for it. You have to be consistent. You have to show up, that resounding message. And so it's grown. So yes, I'm now starting to see really good traction, building the community, the hashtag Boss Squad. And yeah, hopefully helping others to, do the same, really.
For those that don't know, maybe that have came from Janine's audience or on the View page, we are a TikTok agency, so we help businesses grow on TikTok. But we always say, there's still things that we're learning every day.
Yes, absolutely.
And TikTok Live is something that we're massively trying to kind of get on board with in
Yes,
2023 and
I
help
think
our clients
so.
do so too. So,
Absolutely. I
Janine,
definitely think
yours
so.
has been great.
No, awesome. I'm glad that you've found it useful. I definitely think that you're onto on the right track with that. I think it's, again, we have to kind of look at where the gaps are. And whilst we know that live streaming is not new to the social media sphere as a whole, yeah. and we know that people have been going live quite consistently on TikTok, people still don't really know what to do with it to kind of, you know, leverage it in a way that's going to work for them, their business and their brand. And I can see some people saying here, you know, they're worrying about engagement, getting people to talk in their live streams, worrying about the gifts and so forth. Yeah. So, you know, there's lots of layers to it, but ultimately, you know, you start where you're at. You start having with the strategy, and we'll talk about that. Obviously, I don't want to jump ahead, but it definitely is something that every single person that's listening today should be looking at. Whether you're scared or not, you have to put aside your own fears and, you know, and thoughts about it, and focus on the end goal.
So first up, TikTok Live in comparison with other platforms, so Instagram, Facebook. Mm-hmm. Are the people in the right place on TikTok? Is this where you'd recommend starting?
I think everybody at this time, right now, with the way that TikTok is built and the way that it's going, should absolutely 100% be here. We all know, and we're hearing a lot of conversation, you're talking about it quite a bit, Anna, you know, Morgan Brandon's talking about the fact that, you know, there's a lot to do with SEO, and TikTok are wanting to compete with the number one search platform, which is Google, that's hanging on by a thread. So essentially, if people are utilizing this platform to search, number one, and number two, it's still the, I would say, these are my words, don't quote me, but I feel like this is the front runner in terms of platforms for organic reach.
Yeah.
It's obviously depleting as the platform is changing and growing, but you can still get, you know, a global audience and visibility from using this. So, you know, SEO, search, people are searching. Again, you know, the whole thing around this platform being one that allows for organic reach.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100% people should be here. They should be going live. It is a great platform to go live because TikTok are pushing our live streams as well. And, you know, I think like with any platform, what they want is, you know, they'll give us a tool and say, use this tool. And you'll be rewarded for using the tool. But ultimately, they want to see our retention and are we holding people? And if we're able to do that, which live video, if you're creating the right experience, you're going to be able to hold people, then TikTok's going to reward you with more people. I mean, I'm growing my following every single time between 100 to 200 plus people for new followers. So, yes.
Do you think people should be posting organically on TikTok as well as going live? Should it be a strategy of both of those elements? Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Because, well, ultimately, number one, you can't get live functionality without hitting, you know, the 1,000 marks. And there are instances and cases I've spoken about this where people who are consistently uploading content are getting access to live video before 1,000. So if there are those of you like, oh, I'm not there yet, so you're not kind of giving it your all, keep going, because if you show the platform that you're committed, then they're likely to give that to you and people are responding to your content. So, sorry, Anna, what did you say the first bit was of the question? Sorry.
Organic content.
Organic.
Live.
Yes.
You doing both.
Yes. So absolutely 100%. Everyone should be doing both, focusing on really, really good content. And when I've talked about this as well, you know, we've got to remember good content versus right content. You know, we all think as experts and, you know, multifaceted and passionate people that our content is good, but is it right for the audience that we're trying to attract? So we've got to get really, really diligent with creating the right content, and our analytics will help us to do that in terms of responsiveness. But yes, absolutely have an organic content strategy. Upload your videos. Experiment and test using the other features, i.e. stories and also Now. So I'm not a fan of Now, I'll be honest. But yes, absolutely have that. Loving the hat. But absolutely loving the hat. But absolutely do recommend 100% that you do have... It's got to be both. Because at the end of the day, you can't leave off the main functionality of TikTok, which is short form video content. It would be silly to be like, oh, I've got 1,000, I'm just gonna go live now. No, you need to do both. Absolutely. Yeah. Leverage both.
Love your old Uncle Brian said, what do you think of people who blatantly try and scam people for money on the app? I mean, I don't see a great deal of this. However, I know that it is there. I think just be careful and make sure that you're sticking to the community guidelines, as long as you're doing the right thing, you know, just be kind of confident in yourself doing that.
Absolutely. And in terms of scamming people, their followers out of money for purchasing products and services, I'm assuming that's what you might mean. I think you just have to be a bit diligent, don't you? Do your research, check people out, look at their footprint, and, you know, just watch people for a little while before kind of buying into it. Because I think what happens is that there's this whole emphasis on, because of the platform and the way it's been built, on going viral. People are very stuck. It's ingrained in them that, you know, for me to be successful, I have to go viral. And it's not about that. You want to focus on, you know, the right people, like I said, the right content, the right people. So don't get swept away by these people that say, oh, I can help you, you know, scale, get viral content, you know, buy my course or whatever, not, you know, just kind of just exercise wisdom.
What is the process that you would follow to actually go live? How would you go about that? Would you register as an event? You know, what's the first steps?
Absolutely. So I tested both methods of not scheduling events to scheduling events. And I'm very big on creating culture with your community, because people are busy, they're distracted, they're doing lots of different things, you know, they're on the platforms at different times. So it's really important to create, say, do you know what, I'm going to make this as easy as possible, thinking about the customer journey. So the first thing is that obviously your content is always going to lead into your theme of your lives anyway. So schedule your lives, schedule an event. And what I would suggest you do is that when you schedule that event, when you're uploading your next piece of content, try and keep the theme of the content as close as possible to the actual topic that you're going live about. And then attach that event to that specific video. So TikTok allows you to do that. I've got videos on my page on how to do that if any of you don't know. And then also, once you've actually got that scheduled and you're good to go on whatever date it is, make sure that you're doing what you can to create awareness around that. We can't set it and forget it. And again, going back to the whole culture thing, you know, people don't necessarily register for the event, but people are viewing the event. And eventually, once they get to know you and they see the value and they don't want to miss, all the FOMO starts happening because they know your content is good and there's no replays here, they're going to eventually start opting in. But do everything you can to make sure people know about it. So once you've scheduled it and you've posted it on TikTok, well, then where else are you taking it? Are you posting it in your stories? Are you adding it to your stories here, but also taking it over to Instagram and linking it back to here? What about your email list, your contacts? Are you making sure that you're sending that out on your weekly newsletter, bi-weekly, whatever it is? Just make sure that you're optimizing and people know. If you've got a YouTube channel, in your description, make sure that it leads to your TikTok weekly live or whatever it will be. Just make sure that everything is interconnected and keep telling people that you have this particular weekly live stream, show, whatever it might be, because people need to be told a number of times before things stick.
Good. I take it an event is different to the countdown timer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So the event is an actual event that goes onto your profile and attaches to your videos, whereas the countdown sticker is in your stories. And so people viewing your stories can opt into your countdown. So obviously on your story, make sure the call to action is click, you know, the countdown to get notified of the live. But again, you make it all kind of synchronized.
A question that I've got, make sure, you know, if anyone has got any questions, feel free to pop them in the comments. But a question that I've just thought of is, at the moment, what we are doing with our lives is we're taking them, we are creating a YouTube video from them, as well as a podcast from the audio. Is that something you recommend, or would you advise not to?
Yeah, you can do that. So you're using it as a podcast, you're using it on your YouTube channel, are you?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, you can do that. Are you doing it as short form video content or as long form video content on YouTube?
Long, but kind of editing out the beginning, end, and any random bits.
But it's still in vertical format. The video is in vertical.
It's in landscape kind of now, but only because of the graphic.
Okay. So my whole thing is that you definitely need to have a repurposing strategy for your content. And we're not creating content over and over again. We're creating evergreen content. What I would say is that it's really important to make sure that the content that we're creating or repurposing to other platform is native to that platform. Because if you think about every person who is specifically on a platform of choice, they're there for a reason, because of the way that platform is set up. That's why they're there. So that's why we have, you know, IG and TT are like Nice and Dave, and people are, you don't cross pollinate. Yeah. So if you are repurposing, just making sure that it is obviously in keeping with the actual platform. So with YouTube, this is just my personal thing. I think because it's a video on demand, it's not a social media platform, it's a search engine, it's video on demand. It's best to make sure that your content is native to that. So making sure that the videos are in landscape and look and replicate it as much as possible.
Yeah.
I don't recommend vertical long form video on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't think it does as well. I think it can be a bit harming because it's the whole viewing experience. But taking, like, extracting the audio and so forth, absolutely. I do audio bites, absolutely 100%. Doing recaps of your content.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're actually doing that. Yeah, I do. I think it's great. Oh, hi, Penny. Thank you so much. Penny said fab tips. But yeah, so it is about having a repurposing strategy, but you also have to be strategic with that as well.
Yes. Have you got tips for keeping the engagement and interacting with your live viewers on a live stream?
Absolutely, 100%. So what I would say is that I've got this whole thing of my acronym, WIIFT, the what's in it for them. We have to be aware that whilst we have our great message and we want to share it because we do want to add value to our audience, it's not just about us talking at the audience. It's about creating that experience and including them in the conversation. So it's about giving it to your audience. I mean, Anna, you've seen my lives, and I've seen you doing it as well, that your audience knows straight away that they can get involved in the conversation. You ask them questions. You make it as easy as possible for people to respond. So don't ask really long-winded, open-ended questions. If people have to think too much or do too much, they won't take any action at all. But make it simple for them to respond, and they will actually respond. You know, look at people's comments. You know, you're not necessarily going to be able to catch every single comment, but this is why you should have moderators over time as you start to build and grow. But, you know, make sure that you're kind of calling people out, responding to what they're saying, asking them what their thoughts are about what you've actually just said. You know, asking people if, as they're coming, are you new? And tell, you know, what's your see your handle, what's your name? It's simple little things like this where people feel like they're actually seen and they're heard and they're part of something that makes them stick around for a lot longer. So really focus on the relationship building, keeping it as simple as possible. And you'll start to see that your audience will respond so much better than if you just go live and you're just talking. A lot of people do that, especially on lives like this. It's quite difficult when you're doing interview style to make sure people are included. But try your very best from the beginning when you're doing your solo lives to really talk to your audience. And even if you can't get to everything, just say, guys, I might miss some of your comments. Keep them coming. I'll come back to them, etc. You know, and just make them, just create as much of an experience as possible where they feel like you're actually focusing on them.
Yeah, something that I love from watching your lives.
Oh, thank you.
The like the sound effects that you do as well.
Yeah.
Engaged in that way.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There's so much. We haven't even scratched the surface. There's so much that can be done, you know, gamifying your community as well. And as TikTok allows for more advancement with live video, i.e. the integration of third-party software. I love it, you're at, Anna. The integration of third-party software and tools, which they're kind of rolling out, but it's a bit complicated at the moment. You're going to be able to see people do absolutely amazing things. So I'll just give a quick example. It's not here on this platform, on YouTube. There is a bi-weekly game show that I watch from StreamYard, and it's called Channel Reviews. And basically, it's two guys that are on there. They're doing channel reviews, but they're doing a whole game show style thing, like a Wheel of Fortune thing. The wheel runs around. You put in keywords because StreamYard allows you to kind of be able to do that. People can put in cheats. Keywords, they extract somebody at random and then do the reviews, and it keeps people, and also that whole community aspect is extremely powerful. If you can actually build that community with your audience and make them feel like they're a part of something, they won't go anywhere.
Yeah. How long typically should it take to reaching 1,000 followers if you post regularly every day? So
over to you, Anna, on that one. What do you think about that?
I mean, from our experience and my personal opinion, it really does kind of massively vary on your content, who you are, what you're posting, what industry you're in, and how, you know, who's there that, that is interested in your content. So the actual time it can take will massively vary depending on a huge range of factors. Although my top tips for getting to that 1,000 follower count in, you know, as short time as possible to live, the live options will be, number one, to make sure that you know what your niche is, who your target audience is, and have a strategy in place to meet that audience. So that could be you're thinking about SEO. It could be making sure content is relevant to them and not just about you. The way in which TikTok works is it will push your content to a small group of people, and based on how these interact, will determine the success. So if you can hit your audience pain points and attract them instantly, you're more likely to get your page pushed to that correct demographic. So just really thinking about audience, niche, pain points, and posting.
Absolutely. What I would add to that as well, I mean, you've covered everything, is that what happens is that we get very focused on reaching a specific number to be able to, a milestone to be able to do what we feel is the next thing. And if we don't feel like we're moving fast enough with that, we can kind of become inconsistent. You know, we can also become a bit slack, for lack of a better way of putting it, in terms of our content, cut corners, and kind of compromise on our messaging. What I would say is that to all of you, don't dilute your messaging just because you want to get to 1,000 or 10,000 or whatever. You want to go viral. Don't do that. Because the thing is that, you know, you may go viral, you may get the views, but are you, have you set your account up to be ready to deal with that as well? Because you get to 1,000 and then what? And there've been many examples of people, you know, we've just had the Black Girl Follow train, which I fully supported. But my whole thing was, is like, are you, have you set your account up to, now you've got to 1,000, 10,000, well, then what do you do with that community? You know, have you set yourself up for success? So I think it's about focusing on being consistent, have your resounding message, don't dilute your messaging under any circumstances, no matter how long you think, oh, it's, I'm going slower. You're going to attract the right people so that whatever it is that you have to offer them, they're going to be ready to buy once they've gone through the nurturing process, because, you know, we all have to go through that as consumers ourselves and business owners. But you're going to get that. It's go, it, there's no way you cannot succeed, but you have to not get seduced by this whole rushing thing. Oh, I've got to get to this to be able to do that. No, you can make money with 100 followers. Do you get what I mean? You might not be able to go live yet, but you absolutely can monetize, because I'm monetized. So you can, you know. So be encouraged, guys.
I think, you know, like you've just said, a lot of people do kind of cut corners to get to that 1K. If you are doing this, you know, it's going to be more difficult in the long run to reattract the correct people and to have that strategy in place. You know, once you've got this 1,000 followers, is your profile completely optimized to drive them to the right places?
Yes.
You know, considering the that nurture process that you just spoke about is really important.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, good. High five to you, Anna, on that one.
So next question. Let's talk now a little bit about product-based businesses versus service-based businesses. How, you know, it is a little bit different product-based. You've got TikTok Shop. You can do the live shopping, packaging orders, live service-based businesses like us, ourselves. Different kind of content styles. What would you kind of recommend for both of those different industries?
So obviously with product-based business, it's always going to be visual. So you've got to think about, how can I visually attract the audience, and how can I make them stay interested in what it is that I'm visually demonstrating? So again, you know, you talked about packing orders. It's going to be having that, again, getting the audience, pulling them into what it is that you're doing. And, you know, whether it is choosing specific colours of certain things or how to, I don't know, because I'm not a product-based business. But what I'm saying is that with that, it's visual and it's pulling the audience into the actual process as much as you can do that with them. Service-based businesses is different because just the way TikTok is set up, it's very difficult for us currently with live streaming to be able to demonstrate what it is that we actually do in a physical sense. So what we have to do is be very up on our game in terms of the value and demonstrating ourselves as the authority and making sure that we're responsive and also making sure that we are, you know, we're answering all of those questions that the audience have, hitting the pain points in the content that we're doing. And we're kind of, you know, doing it in a way that is, you know, we're unrelenting. We're not blinking. So it is about the education side of things. But again, you also want to make sure that you're not just talking at the audience. Giorgio said he's a big fan. He said that, or a big fan. So yeah, so I think it is the education side of things. And, you know, as I said before, TikTok starts to, you know, diversify and allows for more accessibility to third-party tools, then service-based business owners are going to be able to demonstrate a lot more visually in a way that they can't at the moment.
You've spoken a little bit about like the hallway, I think you've called it.
Yes.
So how do we bring people in through the hallway? And do you want to explain what that is?
Give a bit of context. Absolutely. So when I refer to the hallway, so when you're going live, you can obviously see the number of people that are in the live stream in the top right hand corner. And we do focus on that number. We look at it and so forth. And that can essentially determine how you actually respond or how you show up. So for example, if you go live and one person or two people come in and then they drop off, your energy may drop off. But what I'm talking about in terms of the hallway is the FYP. So we all know that we can scroll through the FYP and see videos, but we also can scroll through and we'll see a live stream. And we can see the title of the live stream, we see that the person is live, but we can't see any of the activity, i.e. we can't see who's in the live stream, what comments are there, etc. That's what I call the hallway, that people can fully consume your content. By the way, shout out to those of you that are in the hallway watching us now. People can actually fully consume your live video content without ever committing and you being able to see them. They can hear everything that you say, every bit of information that you share, what offers you have, what you had for breakfast, lunch and dinner, if that's what you're sharing, and you would never know. So the point is that you have to go live and still speak, even if you've got an empty room, speak to those that are in the live stream and those that are out of the live stream. Because I had on one of my recent lives, a few people, one lady in particular, her name was Jane, stood out to me, said that she was watching from the FYP before she clicked into the live. She was watching. Yeah. People are looking to decide whether or not they want to join the live. And that'll be based on what it is that you do and you say. So it's really important when you're going live that you show up with your fullest amount of energy, even if you're like, oh, there's only 5 people here, or they're leaving. No, there could be 50 people, FYP, like, oh, who's oh, sweetie? Oh, oh, what's she talking? Let me just watch a bit. Do you get what I mean? So it's really important that you do that. Look, yeah. V has said, I do that, LOL. Can I ask those of you that are here under the sound of my voice, how many of you watch a live stream from the FYP and never jump in? I do it. When I'm doing my research, I'm there like, I've done a video about this, but sometimes I'm like, And it can make or break whether or not I actually go in. Some I think, oh, this person's got, let me go a step further because I like to see visually what you're about. Then I'll click in. If you attract me and I click in, I then want to see how you respond to me, i.e. the audience. And that will determine whether I stay for a bit longer or whether or not I go. So there are lots of different things. So here we go. Blue Sky Sun 11 said, me, I'm a hallway watcher. Fee, I'm a hallway watcher. See your place. See. So the point that we're making is it's you guys are co-signing. So in the same way you're watching, someone's watching you. Isn't that right, Anna?
Yeah, 100%. When you said the same, we're all in the same boat.
Absolutely. See, Wendy said, I've watched a lot of lives for the FYP before deciding whether or not to click in. And we want to win the click. So this is what this is all about, my friends.
Yeah, 100%. So, oh, sweetie said, what's your advice to handle live fatigue? Staying live for 2 hours, as TikTok seem to prefer this.
Okay. I don't work for TikTok. And I can't vouch for what TikTok say, but I'm not doing live streams for 2 hours. I'm booked and busy, got things to do. At the end of the day, it's about your capacity. So we know that TikTok are making their recommendations. I think it's, you know, some people are saying 2 hours. I mean, at first I heard it was the minimum of 30 minutes. So I tried to make sure that, yes, we go live for 30 minutes, because reason why I would say that is because it's obvious when you go live, there's a building up process with TikTok. There's a building up and then the numbers jump up. So you have to give time for the live stream to warm up and then for people to get in and figure out what's going on. So, but it is about your capacity. Forget these guidelines of, oh, you've got to go live for 2 hours, 10 times a day, 20 million times a month. Forget it. Who's got time for that? It's about your capacity. Because what will happen is, as we know, you're going to, it's just, you're not going to be able to maintain it, and you're not going to, it's about you having fun. Part of this, you know, if in order for us to be able to create the experience, we have to give out a certain energy that our audience are going to be attracted to. And people aren't stupid, so they'll pick up on the energy. So if your energy is low, you know, if you're like a deflated balloon, they'll be like, nah, forget it, straight ahead. So fatigue, do what you can. It's within your capacity. Your capacity is to go live. I said this last night. Start with 10 minutes, then that's fine. You've got to do what is best for you. And then your audience will come alongside you as you go and you grow and you build the momentum.
Yeah, 100%. Just catching up on a few comments as well from above. Vicent said, I'm nervous about speaking to the camera. My voice accent. So have you got any tips on confidence maybe?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that I will say to every one of you, you know, we've all got an accent to somebody else. In my early days, I was constantly told, you speak too fast, slow down. I was so offended. But one of the things that I realized as I was going along was that I was filling up the space because I was nervous, because I was live streaming. I felt as if I had to keep speaking. And so I'd speak really quickly, lose my breath, be lip slapping and all of this stuff. Ugh, we don't want to be doing that. In terms of your accents, your confidence, the most important thing is focus on the one person that you're serving and whose life you're going to change. Focus on that one person and zone everything else out. That's the first thing, because it's about mindset. The next thing is that when you're going live, take your time, pace yourself, speak a little bit slower. To you, it might sound a bit delayed, but it's not. And be confident to take pauses. Because that allows your audience the time to process what you've said, because we are reaching a global audience. So everybody at once in different places, English may not be their first language. They may be on the school run and there's lots of noise around. They might be sneaking on TikTok at work or, you know, and trying to. So just take all of that into consideration. And as you do that, you're going to feel more in control of the live stream. And your confidence will start to build from there. It just start with small things, small incremental things. You don't have to be like anybody else. You just need to show up as yourself. Every single one of us are experts with our own experiences, and our own experiences have impacted the businesses that we're actually doing. So therefore, we know what we're talking about. Just take your time.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet, says she loses her breath. Slow down. You'll be all right.
Air Anatomy as well said, hey ladies, we do 2 hours, 4 days per week, but it can be tiring. However, we keep weekends free. So yeah, I think as long as you kind of have, you know, you're keeping your weekends free, remember it's not the be all and end all to go live when you think, you know, as often as, you know, do what's best for you.
Absolutely.
Janine, on that topic, have you kind of got any recommendation of how frequently people should go live? Should you go live more than once in one day? You know, is there any kind of guidance on that, or is it just what works for you?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I think it's going to be about what works for you always. Yeah. I did a bit of testing in the early last summer around kind of going live multiple times a day. And what I actually found, I don't know if this is the same now because I didn't keep it up. Yes. But what I actually noticed was that there was a decrease in viewership over the time, the more times I actually went live. Yeah. So the thing is I think that it is about consistency and creating a culture, but again, it's about your capacity. What can you do? If it's once a week, get on once a week and bring the fire. and do all of the things that we've talked about in terms of making sure that you're doing your pre-promotion of that live stream. You know, you're taking that live stream and you're repurposing it, and then you're letting your, you know, you're sending it out to different places as well, and you're turning up and you're adding that event and you're talking about it and you're doing all the things to create that experience. And that's all you need to do once a week. And you'll find for yourself, as you start to see your community building and the same people turning up, that will give you the incentive and the encouragement and the motivation to maybe add one more day in. But again, stick with what is your capacity. I mean, what I will say is that if you go live, you're going to grow. You're going to grow. You're going to get followers every single time. And, you know, it can be a slower process with your video content. You know, we're all at different places, so I can't attest for what everyone's, you know, your results. But ultimately with live, you know, every single time I've gone live, I'm jumping up, you know, a good amount of new followers and the right people as well, because they're interested in what I'm talking about.
100%, And kind of going off that, talk about, you know, we've spoke about bringing those viewers in from the hallway onto the page. How do we convert our viewers into those followers that we're talking about?
Awesome source. Thank you. Good question. So when it comes to the conversion, because you've got to think about the actual journey, what is going to make somebody, number one, click into that live stream, and number two, to take action in the live stream, i.e. get involved, and then take the action to follow? It's got to be that your resounding message and the value and the experience has got to go hand in hand. You've got to create a conversation with the people that are coming in. As you create that conversation, you're going to build the community. And as you build the community, you then start to make sure that you're systematically having your calls to action in those live streams, and you need to drip them throughout. As you go along and you become more experienced, you'll be able to segue off of comments to then push the call to action for whatever product, service, or whatever it is that you're doing. You'll get to do that. You'll, you know, you'll learn how to do that very well. But you do take times at different times in the live stream to remind your audience of the underlying key goal that you actually have. So initially, you know, you've got to think about it, cold traffic, how you're going to move them through that process. They're not going to buy straight away. So you, your call to action might be, you know, follow me. If you're getting value from this content, you know, you as I say, you're picking up what I'm putting down, whatever it might be, then you give them the call to action to follow. And then you, and then you incentivize them by saying, you know, when you follow, you will find on my page tips on X, Y, and Z. They've already jumped into the live because they're interested in what you're saying. So you're just kind of cementing that and then getting them to go to your profile.
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes from there.
Wendy has also asked a fab question. Is it better to have a regular live schedule or to do pop-up lives?
Oh, it's better to have a regular schedule. However, if you're in a situation where you're just getting yourself started and you're like, oh my goodness, you're overcoming all of those things, your own resistance to go in live. Don't put yourself under pressure. If it's an in the moment thing and that's what you have the capacity to do, then do that, because it is about ripping that band-aid off and getting yourself on a live stream, talking and going through the whole thing. But we can't be stuck on that. And the reason why we can't be stuck on that is because, again, if you're wanting to build community, you're wanting to build a culture, you want to start building and seeing people coming to your live streams. And again, like I said, moving them along the customer journey. If you're random, people never know when to expect you. So your results are going to be all over the place. And you're not going to have much to be able to quantify what's working from what isn't. So it's all about making sure that you have an end goal for them, your audience, and for yourself. And having a schedule will help you to achieve that.
Pretty in Pink Bows has said, what are the best interactions you can get them to do? So likes, shares, gifts, what should we be trying to encourage people to, how should we encourage them to interact?
Awesome. So how we should encourage people is always based off of the value, demonstrating the what's in it for them. If your audience feel like you've given them something, it's reciprocity. You then can ask for something back. You know, I talk about the Gary Vee theory, jab, 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 right hook. You give, and then you ask for something back. But from you've actually demonstrated value, even as I said, as simple as being able to see someone. So example, Wendy said, thank you, Janine. That's a fab answer. Thank you very much for your question. You know, just making sure that people see, oh, hold on a minute, Janine's seen me. It just kind of puts you on their radar. They pay attention a bit more. So once you've got people's attention, you start to see people are talking, then it's fine to actually ask. And you should say, we all should be saying, you know, if you're getting value from this live stream, today we are talking about, because sometimes people miss the titles or they miss the call to action in the live intro. Today we're talking about, well, banner, you've got, well, Anna, you've got Anna banner. Anna, you've got the banner. But, you know, just making people know what they're there for and why, and if they are enjoying and they're getting value, or they feel like somebody else could benefit from this, then share. Yeah. Then people are like, oh yeah, actually, rather than you saying like, we've got to get this room to 10,000 likes. When you tap to 10,000 likes, you know, then we'll do, you know, people don't want to do that. They will be happy to share once you've shown them, oh, actually, you're about me. You care about me.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say to that.
Perfect. And is that kind of a similar process to go through when trying to convert audience to followers as opposed to audience slash followers into customers or clients on a sales perspective?
Absolutely. I think it's about being aware that it's creating the conversation, having conversations, speaking to people and showing a level of interest. So essentially, you know, once you start getting people that are converting and moving from to being followers and so forth, and those that are actively commenting on your content, you're seeing the same people, then you need to think about, well, how do I actually move that conversation to the next stage? How do I move that to the DMs? And then how do I utilize that strategy to then nurture people further? Now, I know that TikTok DMs are not as intuitive as other DMs, but you've got to think about, you know, if I want to convert, how am I going to do that going from FYP into my live stream to elsewhere? It's about the conversation part of it.
Yeah, perfect. And how much does the algorithm actually affect lives? So do lives get pushed to your followers, to new people? Do you have any kind of information on that?
So this is what I think from what I can see so far from my own experiences, is that I believe that the live streams are pushed primarily to our audience, because what I've started to see is consistently the same people are coming back to the live stream. So that tells me you're pushing it out to my people, because you know already that they're interested. But then there is that whole thing of it does get pushed out to the FYP. And what I actually find is that you get the people that jump in, and you can kind of tell by the way people are kind of coming in and then they drop off and so forth, that they're the people that are just randomized.
Yeah.
But as your people, as you mobilize your people in the live stream and they start sharing more and they start interacting more, that then tells TikTok, it's obvious, because you've probably seen this yourself, the live stream then jumps up all of a sudden. And then I've polled and I've asked the question, how have you found the live stream? When I've seen that number go up, how did you find it? And I've seen people saying it's come via the FYP. Are you new here? Are you a first timer? So it definitely, from what I can see so far, and everyone has to test, you know, we have to test and see. But it does seem like it goes out to your people first and foremost. So it's really important that we get very good at mobilising our community in the first instance, so it pushes out further.
As we said as well, it's easy to forget that as a seller as well, to just sell rather than be.
I think for product-based businesses, I totally get it. Because you go on and you're demonstrating your products and so forth. I've seen a couple of people that do it well, but for the most part, people are just focused on packing the order or selling the order. No, have some conversations around it. Get really intentional with thinking about how you can be a bit more strategic, and you'll do a lot better.
Does posting duets with other videos do anything for your account? So I assume you mean general TikTok, not TikTok live.
Yeah.
Duets can be a great way to add your own expertise, add your own value to another point that someone is making. You know, I see a few almost hacking the algorithm, you know, where they'll find a viral video and they'll just post something boring next to it, but it keeps people watching to watch that. Wouldn't recommend that strategy because it's not helpful for your audience.
Absolutely not.
I think duetting can be good if the target audience align very well and you have got value to give, but it's not something that I do a great deal of.
Me neither.
It's, you know, it's also not something that I actually hardly do with clients of ours.
Yeah.
I think having your own content should be the most important thing. And then if you do ever have the odd duet video that you think, oh, I could really add some value there, or, oh, that's a perfect message to my audience, I want to share this to my people.
Yeah.
You can kind of do things that way.
Yeah. My opinion, do you guys want candy floss or vanilla? Do you want the sweet stuff or do you want it just audio as it is? So here's my thing. If you go onto my page, you will not see duets on my page. I'm not a big duet fan. Number one, I don't think it's executed very well. And I think, like you said, there's a lot of algorithm hacking. And I think also what people don't think about that are not necessarily algorithm hacking is that you're actually watering down your own messaging because the focus is on that other person. And I say this to my clients, as you know, across the board, you know, whenever you're starting something, you want all eyes to be on you. Yes, it's great to do collaborations, things like this, absolutely. But again, it goes back to, it's got to be all about you, not from an egocentric viewpoint, but you've got to think about, when I'm building, I want people to listen to me, to my voice, to see me as the goat before I start filtering stuff out. So I just think with duets, I don't know if they are very effective at helping you to achieve that. And my focus for my clients and my community is getting people to focus on you. And so just be, I think my message here would be very confident in who you are and what you bring, and know that you are enough and you should be the focus. Add those in if you want to, but don't depend or rely on them, because I just think a lot of people aren't doing them very well. One of the things that I will say to those of you that are here, you know, it can sometimes be a case whereby it gets difficult to keep up with the comments. And sometimes comments don't show, they generally aren't visible, or the person generally does miss it. Yes, there are people that do ignore, and there are lots of reasons for that. But what I would say is don't take it to part, don't take it personally. Repost your question. And, you know, if you feel like the person is literally looking at your comment and then carrying on and ignoring you, well, then you're within your rights. But just kind of, we have to be a little bit flexible, because there are so many things that are going, so many layers for people when they're going live. They're navigating nerves. They think, oh my gosh, if I come off the point, I'll forget. So just give a little grace in the same way that you would want. Please don't take it to heart, Georgia. Georgia's like, I'll take it to heart. I don't care what you say, I'm taking it though. No, not mocking, but no, it's true. I get it though, I get it, I understand.
I think especially with these style of videos, obviously we do these film the TikTok TXs, and it is a little bit more difficult because you don't want to interrupt the other person, and then, you know, it gets a bit hard. So I think for different things, it obviously is more difficult for the host to keep an eye on all the comments. Like you said there, when me and Callum go live, Callum will interrupt and say something.
I've seen you
two. I forgot my train of thought.
You lot banter, as I call it. Yeah, I watch, I'm like, oh, they're off. But you got a good relationship, it's good.
But yeah, I think just reposting the comments, maybe, you know, make a bit more stand out. So adding emojis. I always comments with emojis.
I haven't actually talked about this on my live streams, but Wendy will know this. I actually know Wendy. She's part of my VBA membership. So one of the things that I will say is that you've got to think about how to make your comments stand out. And Dr. Daniel, ND Women's Health, we've seen your comment, we've seen your question, so we're going to come back to that, is have an emoji signature. And if you notice, when I come into your live stream, you'll see I say, hello, hand, British flag, and love. I've been doing that for years. I probably need to update my emoji signature, but that's not the point. The point is that you've got to think about standing, how your comment can stand out from everybody else's. And as I've said to people, as you consistently go to someone's live stream, you use your emoji signature. That's Wendy's emoji signature there. Hello. People will recognize you. You'll easily stand out. So Yeah, just think about how to, like Anna said, utilize emojis, not in a spammy way, not too many, but in a way that's going to get you seen.
Yeah, I'm loving all the emojis popping up now.
Yes, love it, love it.
So Dr.
Danielle, sorry, yes.
Can you talk about when people try to join you on a live, do you
Absolutely not. I speak very much to the fact that your live stream is your house. Nobody, listen, don't allow anybody to come into your house, metaphorically speaking, kick open your kitchen door, open your fridge and take out your best meal that you've made. Absolutely not. They have to ask and get permission. So the point that I'm trying to make is if someone requests to join your live, there's a little circle where you can number one, decline it, but you can select it so that people can't keep requesting and that big red disruptive button comes up that can throw you off. Just the first time you get it, just click that and just decline. You don't have to have anybody in your live stream. I do not accept people into the live stream, and you just don't know what people are going to say or what they're going to do. So you just need to be very mindful of that. But don't feel, you know, scared. Oh my gosh, I'm going to offend somebody. You know, we'll always offend somebody. That's not what we worry about. We worry about those whom we're serving and helping.
Very simple, quick fire questions. You know, snappy, quick answers.
Yeah.
So these are just business general, you know, nothing to do with live. So number one, podcast or book that you would recommend?
Oh, book that I would recommend. Well, this is one of my favorites that I've got here, the YouTube formula. This is great for helping you to build your business and your brand. It is mostly obviously focused on YouTube, but there are so many amazing nuggets for video creators right now. So if you are a video creator, I would recommend this book by Daryl Eaves, the YouTube formula.
Paid or organic social media?
Oh gosh, organic. You're going to have to use paid if you want to have further reach, but you don't need, don't start with paid, don't do it, it can mess a lot of things up. Organic.
An organic lover.
Organic. You don't need paid. You don't need
Clubhouse or
TikTok live. Clubhouse. Oh, well. Another topic another day. Clubhouse, yeah, okay.
Number one tip for selling on TikTok.
Don't be salesy. Focus on your people. Create the experience.
One piece of advice for any small business. So this can be general advice.
Okay, general advice for any small business owner who is leveraging social media. Please don't compare yourself. Really have tunnel vision and focus. Focus on your resounding message. Focus on the people whose lives that you are going to transform, because somebody's life will be saved as a result of you showing up. So just have that tunnel vision. In the early days, you can get, you know, shiny object syndrome. Stay focused and go for the gold.
So thank you very much, Janine, for joining. And thanks everyone who watched today's live. Please drop us an emoji in the comment section if you learned anything from the live.
Biggest takeaway.
Yes. A little thumbs up if you will be taking these tips on board and going live in the future. Hopefully it's giving you all a little bit more confidence and a bit of an idea of what to do in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me as well, Anna. It's been awesome chatting with you. Keep up the amazing work that you guys are doing. Absolutely love everything that you stand for. So yes. Yeah.
You too. You are incredible and love all of your tips, love all of your videos. And yesterday has been great. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Yes.
You know, getting to know everyone else on the live as well. Thank you all for your lovely comments. And yeah, scheduling something that I will work on. Yet, Janine, actually, quick to do. Have you got any homework for anyone? You know, like a piece of advice to go away. Everyone on the slide, go away and to do something.
Okay, actionable. I want you all to work on your 30-second power intro. And what that is your introductions for your live stream. So saying who you are, what you do, and the what's in it for your audience. So I want you to, I say 30 seconds because well, it's less time for the attention span, but that gives you amount of time, the right amount of time to be able to create that impactful first impression when you go live and give yourself the confidence and let your audience know why they should watch you. So your 30 second power intro is your homework.
Amazing. Thank you very much. And thanks everyone for joining. I hope you all have a lovely evening, a lovely week. And me and Callum will be back on Thursday for a live. Janine, I think, is going live tonight.
Yes, I'll be live today at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. UK time. So if you're not following me, follow and come along and then we'll have a chit chat. Be sent and send homework. All right then, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks, Anna. Bye. Take care. Bye.